we're going to check on and see what the scripture says. You know, you can hear a lot about what man says about the scripture, but what does the scripture say? So that's who we're going to answer to. We're going to answer to the Lord someday about what we believed out of Romans to Philemon, rightly divided. If you will, join me in prayer, please. Father, we thank you for our Savior. We thank you, Lord, that we can assemble here again this morning to study your word. And Father, we continue to pray for those that are sick. We ask you to be with them, to comfort these people, and to let them look to thee for guidance and understanding. And Father, we ask you to teach us your word this morning by your Spirit, to build us up in the faith, that we be a better witness for thee. And Father, we ask you this morning, most of all, to get honor and glory to yourself in this class. In the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, Paul said, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now listen, when he says all scripture is given by inspiration of God, I believe that's all scripture from Genesis all the way through to Revelation. Not necessarily the headings. You understand how I'm saying that? Give you an example. Go to Hebrews chapter 1. The heading that I have, it may not be in your Bible. I have one at the house that doesn't do this. But in this Bible here, it says the epistle of Paul, the apostle to the Hebrews. That is not scripture. You understand? That's put in by the printer. So that's not scripture. But all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 1. I exhort therefore that first of all, supplication, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, for all that in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. Well, in the context, part of the knowledge of the truth you'll find in verse 5. Look at verse 5. For there is one God. How many gods are there?
One.
Are you sure about that?
Yes.
Well, what about the Islamic religion? Do they worship the creator of heaven and earth?
It's just one with a capital G.
Right. Let me show you why he says what he's saying there. Hold your place here and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Verse 1. Now it's touching things offered unto idols. Well, now, do people have idols that they call their gods? Well, how many gods is there? Well, how many idols are there in the world? Man, I don't have no idea, do y'all? You ever stop and try to count how many idols is in a Catholic church? I've been in many a Catholic church, and there's idols all over the place in there. And they come in there, and the first thing they do, they bow down, make the sign of a cross to some kind of image there, either Mary or a crucifix. Is that a god? Do they pray through to Mary? The Catholic people, do they pray through to Mary to get to God? Well, that won't hold no water, because in 1 Timothy chapter 2, there's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Now, what does the Scripture say? That's what we're interested in. There is one God. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1, now, as touching things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. If any man think he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing, yet as he ought to know. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. As concerning, therefore, the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world. Now, are there people put great confidence in idols? Well, certainly. They put them in their yard. They burn them in their house. They bow down to them. I know a lady, I don't know what she believes. But I went in her home a couple of times, and it's kind of spooky. This lady back there knows who I'm talking about. She burned candles and incense in her house to these idols, or whatever she called that thing, I don't know. You know who I'm talking about? Jan Ann? Yeah. I mean, they're people that worship these idols. They don't just think they're something made out of gold or silver or wood or stone. They think that's their God. That's their protector. That's their God to them. It's their God. Now watch what he says here. Verse 3. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 3. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. As concerning, therefore, the eating of those things that are offered and sacrificed to idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and there is none other God but one. You see the capital G? Now watch what Paul says. Verse 5. For though there be that are called gods, well, that's a little g, whether in heaven or in earth. Well, where does the Catholic people say Mary is at? In heaven. Well, do they make an image to her? In heaven? They sure do. Verse 5, the end of parentheses. As there be gods many and lords many, but unto us. And I suspect that's those of verse 3 that love God and not idols. You understand? Verse 6, but unto us there is but one God, the Father of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. Now, let's look at some things. Go back and take 1 Timothy chapter 2 and go with me to Isaiah, and let's start in Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah 41. Verse 21. Now listen, someday every person that you know is going to stand in judgment somewhere. Those of us that are saved, those out of us that believe that Jesus Christ died for all of our sins, was buried and rose again the third day for our justification, those that are putting our faith and trust in what he did at Calvary for us, we will go to the judgment seat of Christ. We will not go to the great white throne judgment. Those that do not believe in the death of Jesus Christ for their salvation, that have heard the gospel of Christ, rejected it, they will go to a great white throne judgment someday. Now listen to what God says to these people in Isaiah chapter 41, verse 21. Produce your cause. Well, have you got a cause for not trusting Christ as your personal Savior? If you're sitting here and you're not saved, have you got a cause not to trust Christ as your personal Savior? Why wouldn't you not do so? I mean, you ain't got to get up, you ain't got to say anything, and you ain't got to ask Jesus to come into your heart. I heard a preacher this morning say, would you pray this prayer after me? Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. When the Bible says the heart's deceitful and desperately wicked. And Jeremiah? No. Paul said in Romans 10 verse 9 that if thou shalt confess, and when you confess, you say the same thing that the Bible says. You don't say what man says about it. You say what God said. God said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now listen, there is no other God that can save you. You can bow down to Buddha, and I rubbed that little old fat devil's belly when I used to go to that Chinese restaurant out there on Highway 90 by Lowe's, and they got a little old fat Buddha sitting up there, and I'd be going up there to pay for our dinner, and I'd rub his little old belly, and it ain't helped me yet. I thought maybe if I rubbed his little old belly some of that, well, you know, give me some good luck here.
You still had to pay.
I got a fortune cookie. Y'all ever look at them sayings on them fortune cookies? Well, don't believe them. I got one here a while back. I still got it somewhere at the house, because I still got about 4 or 5 more days before time runs out on this saying. It says, you will be blessed with great... Now, I'm trying to think of the word.
Memory?
I need that. I do need a little help on my memory. I don't know. I'm going to be blessed with a lot of good luck. That's what it is. You will be blessed with a lot of good luck before your next birthday. Well, it better hurt. It better hurt. Because all I've had so far is bad luck. I'm thinking that thing all said you're going to have a lot of bad luck for next. Now, they ain't got nothing to do with this. If you look at Isaiah 41, verse 21. Produce, sir.
Oh, he moving along.
But I could use a little help on my memory. I was trying to, I got a thing in the mail the other day, and it says, take this stuff in, you won't never ever have to worry about memory and anything anymore. I don't know if it's cyanide or what. Verse 21, produce your cause, saith the Lord. Bring forth your strong reasons. Now you're going to reason with God, the creator of heaven and earth, saith the king of Jacob. Let them bring them forth and show us what shall happen. Let them show the former things what they be, that we may consider them and know the latter end of them, or declare unto us of things to come. Show the things that are to come hereafter. Well, Jeannie Dixon, she might be able to do that. I don't know. Y'all know who Jeannie Dixon is, don't you? She used to predict the future. Y'all ever seen these signs on the side of the road with a hand print there with all the lines in it, the palm slayer? They come in there and they can read your future by them lines in your hand. I'd hate for them to look in the lines in my hand. But you know what? They can't tell you what's going to happen tomorrow. Only thing you know, that someday you're going to stand in judgment to the God of this creator of heaven and earth. Someday you're going to stand, and God's going to say to the angels, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, he's going to say to the angels, take this person and cast them into hell. I never knew him. Never knew it. You don't want to die without a Savior. And you're not too old or too young. There's no age limit on death. It's a sad situation to leave this world without a Savior. But it's a blessing to know that you got a Savior, and then you leave this world. It's a blessing. A real, real blessing. Well, what is your cause if you don't trust? If you're sitting here, listen, be honest with yourself. God Almighty knows your heart. If you have never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, why not? Why not? I ain't talking about if you change what you do or what you are. I'm talking about what do you believe in your heart. Paul said, with the heart man believeth unto salvation, and with the mouth confession. What do you confess? You're confessing the same thing that God Almighty told you when Jesus Christ died at Calvary, that he died for all your sins. Now look what he says here. Verse 29. Behold, they are all vanity. Their works are nothing. Their molten images are wind and what?
Confusion.
Well, beloved, Paul told you in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 that God is not the author of confusion. Well, if God ain't the author of confusion, who is? Well, who is the author of all these gods? Y'all know where this started at? In the Garden of Eden. Satan told Eve, God doeth know the day you eat thereof, you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Not the God of heaven, not the one God that we worship, but gods. Little g, gods. Go to Isaiah chapter 44 with me. Isaiah 44. Verse 1. Yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou, Jezreel, whom I have chosen, and that's Israel. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thy offspring. And they shall spring up as among the grass, as well as by the water course. One shall say, I am the Lord's. Well, can you say you're the Lord's? Honestly, can you say the Lord bought me with a price? I belong to the Lord. He's my master. He's my owner. I belong to him, and he can jolly well do with me whatever he wants. I'm the clay. He's the potter. The Bible says, shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why has thou made me thus? God give you a choice. What's your call? Verse 5. One shall say, I am the Lord's, and another shall call him by the name of Jacob, and another shall ascribe with his hand unto the Lord, and surname himself by the name of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. Now watch what he says. I am the first, I am the last. Beside me there is no God. Well, am I going to believe the Islamic religion or somebody's religion that's got a statue over here and said, this is our God? Am I going to believe what the Bible says? I'm going to believe what the Bible says. That's God's inspired word that we just read. Not man's word about God. It's God's word. Verse 7. And who, as I shall call and shall declare it, and set it in order for me, since I appointed the ancient people, and the things that are coming and shall come, let them show unto them. And I suspect he's trying to get somebody to tell the world there ain't but one God. The world needs to hear this today, because this country and this world is headed right down the tube to a one-world religious system led by the Antichrist. And it doesn't include the God, the creator of heaven and earth. It includes a God, not the God. There's a difference. Verse 8. Fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee from the time and have declared it? Ye are even my witnesses. Is there a God besides me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any. How many times has God got to tell us there ain't but one God? Verse 9. They that make a graven image are all of them vanity, and their delectable things are not shall not profit, and they are their own witnesses. They see not, nor know that they may be ashamed. Who hath formed a god or a molten graven image that is profitable for nothing? Go to chapter 45, Isaiah chapter 45, verse 5. I am the Lord. There is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me. Go, hold your place in. Go to Exodus chapter 3. Go to Exodus chapter 3. You always got a bad habit of believing God, if you call that a bad habit or not. Because there ain't many people left around that believe the King James Bible is the Word of God no more. Now, in Exodus chapter 3, God's dealing with Moses. And let's start in verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert, came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, while the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, I said, I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Now, verse 11. And Moses said unto God, Who am I that thou shouldest go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly, I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee, that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. Do y'all know why they couldn't serve God in Egypt for 400 years there? They had to have a sacrifice. They had to sacrifice the animals. Those Egyptians were worshiping animals. They wouldn't allow them to kill the animals and shed the blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. They could not worship God in Egypt because of the animal sacrifices. So God had to get them out of there, take them in the wilderness so they could sacrifices to God. Now, watch what he says. Verse 12. And he said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and say unto them, The God of our fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say unto me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. In other words, I am has no beginning, no end. I am. And y'all remember me telling you about that morning I was headed up to Coffeyville to go hunting. It was real early in the morning, dark. And I'm coming into McIntosh, and there's a four-lane road in there, and I'm looking down the road down then, I see something coming down the road. And the closer I get, I saw some figure of a man, I can see this man's head. He had a white sheet on it. Had a sign in front and in back. Had his hands out like this, walking down the road, I am. How ridiculous.
Crazy.
I am. You know who the I am is? Look here. Verse 14, God said to Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Well, who is the I am? Go to Revelation chapter 1 with me. Go to Revelation chapter 1. Verse 8. Revelation 1 verse 8. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Now he's talking about the second coming over here. He is not talking about the rapture. He's making reference to the second coming. Jesus Christ came back here. Do you know who Jesus Christ was? Emmanuel. According to Matthew, being interpreted, God with us. John chapter 1, he came to his own. His own is a reference to Israel. You understand? Not the church, the body of Christ. Church, the body of Christ is not in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The church, the body of Christ, was not known to anybody until revealed to the Apostle Paul. That God was dealing with people, that Jesus Christ had died for all their sins. Those that trust that are baptized spiritually, not by water, spiritually into the body of Christ. The body of Christ, which is his church. The church, which is his body. According to Ephesians, we are his fullness. We fill up his body with his own righteousness. You understand? His righteousness, not our righteousness. It's his. The rapture of the church takes place. God deals with Israel in the tribulation. 7-year time of Jacob's trouble, according to Jeremiah and other places in the book of Daniel, is 7 years of the Antichrist. 3.5 good years, 3.5 bad years. Right in the middle, he causes the sacrifices to cease. The man of sin. The man of sin cannot be revealed as long as we're here. God's got to get us out of here. So he's making reference to the second coming when he will set up his kingdom over here. Now, Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. Revelation 1, 18. I am he that liveth and was dead. When did God die? Come on now. When did God die? Hold your place and go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Might as well go ahead and take Hebrews. Whole Revelation. Take Hebrews chapter 10 to start with. You'll have three passages there. Alright, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For he, that's a reference to God, hath made him, a reference to Jesus Christ, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. In other words, we are his righteousness, and we fill up the body. When the body is full, when the rapture takes place, then the Antichrist can be revealed. Now, let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. In Hebrews chapter 1, you're holding Revelations. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholdeth all things by the word of his power, when he hath by himself purged our sins, set down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Do you see who Jesus Christ is? He's the express image of God. Go to chapter 10. Chapter 10. I'll start in verse 1. It's hard to break into context, so we'll just start in verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sin. In other words, they remembered their sins once a year. They brought a sacrifice. The high priest went behind the veil, offered the blood. God couldn't see the law. He saw the blood. That's what he's talking about there in Hebrews 10. Now, verse 3. But in those sacrifices, in other words, the sacrifices of those animals, but in those sacrifices there's a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. Go to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. Well, y'all holding 2 Corinthians 5. I meant to tell you to do that, but that's all right. It ain't gone nowhere. It'll be right there. We're going to go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. John chapter 4. Verse 24. John 4, 24. God is a spirit. A body hast thou prepared me. What is he saying? God Almighty died. When did he die?
Calvary.
Died at Calvary. How? He's a spirit. His spirit into a virgin. You understand? She had a child, her firstborn son, called Jesus, Emmanuel, which is God with us. God went to Calvary, died. Okay? That's what we just read in the book of Hebrews. Now watch what he says. Verse 24, God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 again. Verse 14, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Well, Jesus Christ died for all men, didn't he? And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Now, I'm watching TV yesterday, And I was on a religious channel. I don't even know who it was. And there was a picture of Jesus on the wall there. Now, how do they know what Jesus looked like? When God says, henceforth know we him no more. People don't believe the book. Verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He did not say he's born again. He said he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Here is the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19. To wit, that God was in Christ. God is what? A spirit. God was in Christ. His spirit in Christ went to Calvary, died. He gave up the ghost, John 19. His spirit was renewed, regenerated, if you please. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Well, what is our ministry about today? It's about people reconciled to God by the death of Christ. Go back to Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. I am he that liveth and was dead. Well, let's check out another passage. Hold your place and go to Acts chapter 20. Now, this is clear. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Did God purchase you with his own blood? He sure did. It wasn't Adam's blood. It wasn't the blood of a bull or a goat. It was by his blood that he purchased me. What about you? Now go back to Revelation chapter 1. Verse 18. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. Go to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. Verse 8. And the four beasts, each had of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was, and is to come. He was Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He died at Calvary. He ascended up. He's gone to receive for himself a kingdom and to return again. And that ain't got nothing to do with the church, the body of Christ. You understand? The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, trump of God. The dead in Christ arise first. Then we which are alive and remain, that have trusted Christ as our personal Savior, our bowed body will be changed, and we'll meet them in the air to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And if you don't have that confidence, you ain't going to be there. God Almighty says, bring your cause. Come on. Argue with me. Fuss with me. Show me in the Bible where you can get here some other way. Show me where the Baptists and the Methodists and the Catholics and the Buddhists and the Islamics or whatever they are can come some other way than by what Jesus Christ did at Calvary, by the gospel that was committed to the Apostle Paul. Show me how you can get there by the gospel that Jesus preached in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, or the 12 preached. You can't get there that way. There's not several roads headed to heaven. There ain't but one way. And Paul said, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. In whom? The God. And I used to read that and I never saw that it was a little... The God of this world blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And Paul said that gospel was committed unto him, when yet he was a blasphemer. Now you know what that just fascinates me. Here you got 12 men that had a gospel committed to them that were followers of Jesus Christ. And yet, the Lord had to knock down an old, low-down, sorry blasphemer and give him the dispensation that we now live in. It's called the dispensation of the gospel. It's called, in our time, the dispensation of the grace of God. We now live in the dispensation of the grace of God. But you know what's going to happen during the dispensation of the grace of God? According to what the Bible says, go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. You know, we got so many egotistical people in the world, and a lot of them in the pulpit, they are scared to death to preach the truth. They're afraid that people won't come back next Sunday. Well, if they don't want to come back, that's their problem, not mine. That's their problem, not mine. Verse 1, 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. What are they doing? They're giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. What are they doing? They're speaking lies. In hypocrisy. What are they doing? They're having their conscience seared with a hot iron. In other words, it's hard to get the truth into them. Why? Satan has seared their mind. You know what he sears it with? God's own truth in the wrong dispensation. He's got ministers in the pulpit preaching Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John just as hard as they can every Sunday and every Wednesday and every time they're on TV. Joel Osteen, all he does is tell them how good God wants to bless you. When God Almighty told Israel in Deuteronomy that you are my chosen people, and if you don't keep these commandments and do what I say, all these curses will come upon you. People can't understand why God has cursed Israel so bad over the years. You know why they cursed? You know why God cursed Israel? Let me show you. Now, there's several verses you can go to, but we'll just go to one place. Go to Hosea chapter 4. Daniel, Hosea. If you've got Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea. You got Matthew, back up through Malachi, Zechariah, and going back toward Hosea chapter 4, page 1129. In my book, in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. My people, that's Israel, that ain't got nothing to do with you in this room. That has to do, when you see my people, a reference in a 1611 King James Bible, it's God's chosen people, Israel, my people. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And I don't think that's because they didn't get a college education or a master's degree or a doctorate degree in philosophy and all this kind of junk. I believe that's the knowledge of God. You understand? They're reading spiritual words. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. I mean, that's kind of clear, ain't it? That thou shalt be no priest to me. In other words, in Exodus 19, God said he chose Israel out above all the people. You will be a holy nation, a royal priesthood, a kingdom of priests, if you do what I tell you. You get over here and you find out in the book of Malachi, which is not written to you, ain't got nothing to do with you bringing your tithe to the storehouse. It has to be to the priesthood. If the book is written to the priesthood of Israel, they were partial in the law. They rejected God's knowledge. So God rejected them. Verse 7, as they were increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore will I change their glory into shame. They eat up the sin of my people. They set their heart on their iniquity. That has to do with their idols. And there shall be like people, like priests, and I will punish them for their ways and reward them their doings. For they shall eat and not have enough. They shall commit whoredom and shall not increase, because they have left off to take heed to the Lord. Whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart. My people ask counsel at their stocks. In other words, they're asking these idols, what do y'all say about this? Well, Jeannie Dixon, what do you say we ought to do tomorrow? What do you ought to do tomorrow? You ain't got to ask Jeannie Dixon. What should you do tomorrow? Tell somebody how you got saved. Amen. Tell somebody the gospel of Christ. Tell somebody that God was in Christ and he ain't mad at you. He forgive you all your trespasses. What do you got to do now? Well, you need to get baptized. You need to repent of your sins. You need to stop doing this. Don't go there. Don't eat this. Don't say that. Don't drink this. Don't walk on the grass. Don't kick the cat. Don't speed. Don't run the stop sign. Don't run the rip. I mean, it just goes on. You know what you got to do? Nothing. You got to believe. Words. Y'all know in the book of Hosea chapter 14, over here in the tribulation time over here, God told Israel, you know what he told them to do? Take with you words. Well, you reckon what words they going to take? They going to take the word of the NIV, the RSV, the New Moffat, the Williams, the New Translation, the Reader's Digest Bible? Oprah Winfrey's Bible? Huh? You reckon what words they're going to take with them? I suspect they're going to take Genesis to Malachi with them. Don't you suspect they would? They know what to look for. They know how to recognize the Antichrist. They know how long this tribulation is going to be. They know that they got to keep the commandments over here, as he told them back here in Deuteronomy chapter 7. If you keep my commandments and my statutes and do them, then I'll bless you. We know over here in the book of Revelation, in 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, they got to keep the commandments. We know in Matthew chapter 19, Jesus Christ told the rich man, keep the commandments. He didn't tell you to keep the commandments in Romans to Philemon. He told you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Believe what? That when Christ died at Calvary, he died for your sins. And if you don't want to go to hell, you better trust that. And if you don't, goodbye. Katie barred the door. God's given you a choice. You ain't got no cause when you stand before God. You can't say, well, God, I just never did hear that you died for me. Nobody ever told me the truth about it. If you're sitting here, you've heard it this morning. You've got no cause. You've got no alibi. There's nothing you can say to God. But someday, every knee is going to bend and every tongue is going to confess to God, to the glory of God Almighty. God's going to get the glory. Amen. One way or another, it's his. He's going to get it. Now, watch what he says here. Go to Hosea 6 while we're here. in verse chapter, I apologize, let's go to chapter 5. I got a minute or two here. Let's go to chapter 5 before we go to chapter 6. Verse 1. Hear ye this, O priest. Well, who's he writing to? He's writing to the priest. And the church, the body of Christ, ain't got no priest. Hear ye this, O priest, and hearken, ye house of Israel, and give ear, O house of the king, for judgment is toward you, because you have been a snare on Mizpah, and a net spread upon Tabor, and the revolters are profound to make slaughter, though I have been a rebuker of them all. I know Ephraim, and Israel is not hid from me. For now, O Ephraim, thou committest whoredom, and Israel is defiled. They will not frame their doings to turn to their God, for the spirit of whoredom is in the midst of them, and they have not known the Lord, and the pride of Israel doeth testify to his face. Therefore shall Israel and Ephraim fall in their iniquity. Judah also shall fall with them. They shall go with their flocks and with their herds to seek the Lord, but they shall not find him. He hath withdrawn himself from them. They have dealt treacherously against the Lord, for they have begotten strange children. Now shall a moth devour them with their portion. Blow ye the cornet in Gilboa, and the trumpet in Ramah. Cry aloud at Bethaven after thee, O Benjamin. Ephraim shall be desolate in the day of rebuke. Among the tribes of Israel have I made known that which shall surely be. Well, do they know what's going to happen to them? Well, sure they do. The princes of Judah are like them that remove the bound. Therefore I will pour out my wrath upon them like water. Ephraim is oppressed and broken in judgment, because he willingly walked after the commandment. Therefore will I be unto Ephraim as a moth, and to the house of Judah as rottenness. When Ephraim saw his sickness and Judah saw his wound, then went Ephraim to the Assyrians, and sent to the king Jareb. Yet could he not heal you, nor cure you of your wound. I think about these people that go to these healers today. They can't heal you. You can go to the doctor, you can get sick, and he can't do nothing for you. But tell you, try this. Come back a little later. Try something else. Now watch what he says here. Verse 14. For I will be unto Ephraim as a lion, and as a young lion to the house of Judah. I will tear and go away. I will take away, and none shall rescue him. I will go and return to my place, till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. In their affliction, they shall seek me early. In their affliction, what are they going to do? Chapter 6, verse 1. Come, let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day. Wow. Now listen, brother, my mind's going wild right now. And if I don't slow it down, I could blow a head gasket. If the Bible says one day is as 1,000 years with the Lord, in the third day, what day is this? 2,000. 2 days? Are you thinking? If the day of the Lord is as 1,000 years. So we've had 2,000 years since the Lord was crucified. You understand? In the third day, Israel will be revived. We're going to be already gone before this last 7
year period for Israel comes about. So, the Lord has got to get us out of here because we are His righteousness. We ain't read these verses just to be reading verses. Abraham, God told Abraham, I'm going to go down there and I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, the cities in the plain. Abraham said, God, if there's 50 righteous there, will you not destroy the place? He said, that's all right, Abraham, I won't destroy it if there's 50. I think Abraham got down to the, he said, Lord, just bear with me a little bit here now. If there be 10 righteous people there, will you not destroy the place? He said, I won't destroy it for 10 righteous people. Well, beloved, God will not pour out His wrath, and I don't care what these scholars say, that these earthquakes and tornadoes and hurricanes and all this catastrophe that's happening in the world is God's wrath. I heard a man, and I rebuked him a little bit, but he didn't even understand. He's so far out left here. When Katrina went down through Louisiana and all down through it, I heard a man say, well, I knew God was going to pour out His wrath on that bunch of hypocrites and backsliding people and all this stuff. And I said, listen, we live in the dispensation of grace. We don't live in the time of judgment. This is the day of salvation, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. This is the day, one day with the Lord is 1,000 years. We've had 2,000 years of grace. Someday it's going to cease. People don't believe that. People's had it so comfortable, they don't believe that grace is going to end someday and God's going to deal with the world in judgment, but He can't do it while we're here. We are His righteous. God told Abraham, if there's 10 righteous people there, I won't destroy it. And you know what he had to do? He had to go get Lot out of there. Lot went over there and he told his sons-in-laws, he said, y'all better pack your bags and get out of here. God's fixing to destroy this thing. And they laughed at him. You know who left out of that plane in there? Lot and his two daughters and his wife. And Lot's wife looked back and she turned to a pillar of salt. People don't believe that. Oh, that's some sort of fairy tale. No, it ain't. I suspect you can go over yonder and dig up salt out of that place over there where she turned to salt.
Yes, amen.
And I suspect that's the great salt flat over there. I don't know how big that lady was, but... I suspect you can find a big pile of salt over there somewhere. You see, I believe the book. I believe someday God's going to take the church, the body of Christ, out of here. If you sit, listen to me. If you sitting here and you ain't saved, dadgum, you get saved. Maybe you're the last person that God knows that'll trust Christ as their personal Savior, and the body's full, then God can get us out of here. If you want this stinking world, just don't trust Christ as your Savior.
You're going to get it.
You can have it. But if you're sitting here and you ain't saved, why don't you trust Christ as your Savior? I mean, you ain't got to do nothing. Just believe what God said to you, that He died for you, paid for all your sins. If you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's that simple. Ain't nothing to it.
Father, Colossians 2 and 6.
Yes. Okay. I'm not through, but my time's up, so I appreciate y'all being here. Lord willing, we'll see you next Sunday. If not, in the air.